Good Monday morning. It's time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a Labor Day, and we'll be here, as usual, till 10:50 this morning.
All righty. And for everyone out there getting ready for the barbecues, just now waking up, good morning. And I hope you enjoy the swimming pools, enjoy the barbecue.
Enjoy the lake.
Oh, absolutely. While we're here in the studio. Get the lawn mowed while it's still cool.
On this beautiful day in the Ozarks, absolutely. You know, there was a man that came into my office some years ago, in the, about mid-50s, and he came in and he was very unhappy with his life. He was very unhappy with his marriage. And he couldn't figure out why, and that's the reason he came to counseling. And, you know, a lot of people don't know why they or when to come to counseling. They just really don't know. At what point do you jump in and do that? But he came in. He scheduled an appointment. He came in and said, I'm just so unhappy with my life. And we talked for about an hour about all about his life and his previous marriage, and he had remarried. And there was no time that he could remember. It had been so long ago that he was really, truly happy with his life. So I asked him to bring his wife back to the next session, counseling session. And so he did, and they both came back. And we were sitting there discussing about his life, and she was there, and she was there to help him. Only more than happy to be there to help him. And I asked him what he thought about his marriage, what he thought about how they were doing. And he turned to his wife and looked at her, and he says, what do I think? And it floored me. Here's a man, a grown man, in his mid-50s, turning to his wife and saying, what do I think about that? And she was more than happy to tell him what he thought. This morning we are in the second part of Authentic Manhood, and about men asserting ourselves as men, about what we think and how we feel and what we need and what we want and what we will accept and what we will not accept. The principles that we have embraced for our life, that we're building in our life and our relationships upon. As men, we've got to stand up. We've got to be assertive. We've got to know what it is to be men. We've got to be a man and assert manhood in a way that is effective, functional, and that is empowering, uplifting, not only for ourselves, but for our wives and our children and for those that are around us. And so this morning, if you'd like to give us a call and talk with us about this, it's 862-9977. Or outside the area, it's 1-800-375-0056 or star 56 on your cell phone. And you'd like to call us from the lake or from your poolside and give us an idea of what you think about manhood and some experiences perhaps that you have had in your life about asserting yourself or your hesitancy to assert yourself as a man.
Past week, we did focus a lot on examples where men fell short. And ladies are out there going, yeah, they fall short all the time. This is not a man-bashing type of thing. We see examples all the time where men are not picking up where they need to be, where they're not asserting themselves. But, you know, we're seeing examples also of men who are going beyond. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about men leading courageously, being able to fill that role that God made us for. There's differences. But we have to be able to celebrate being a man, being able to be a father, being able to be a husband, and living life to the fullest in those roles. That's what we're talking about this morning. Is, okay, we have all these examples of people that didn't quite make, they missed the mark. People that missed the mark. How do we, as men, fulfill those roles for ourselves, for our wives, for our children?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And, you know, we talk to a lot of young women who come into counseling, single women, who come in and say, you know, I'm looking for a real man. I would really like for a real man to come into my life and to treat me like a woman, treat me with respect and treat me with courtesy and treat me with gentleness and treat me with kindness and dignity. Someone who can truly share themselves with me and yet who will be strong and be there to help me and protect me. I've been talking with several young women lately, and they've told me, I don't know where to find these men. They're not at the bar scene. They're not through friends, a lot of my friends who think I would be interested in, well, they end up just being a bunch of jerks, and I don't want any of them.
Or not online, either.
Or not online. Oh, my.
The photo he sent was not him.
And a lot of women are just really at a loss, not only about where are these men, but many of them are at loss. And even when I ask them, describe the man you're looking for, that you will know he's a real man, they're at a loss even to know what kind of characteristics to tell me. Physically, they can tell me they want someone tall and with dark hair and brown eyes and big physique. But as far as what it means to be a man, that's still kind of vague, still generalities. And so what is a real man? What is a real man? And how do you know a real man if he comes into your life or if you have one in your life? A lot of times men marry someone just like their mothers. Or they want to find a woman just like their mothers. And I know a lot of wives out there don't like to hear that. But a lot of men do. Now, the old saying is, he didn't like the casserole, he didn't like my cake, he said my biscuits were too hard, not like his mother used to make. I didn't perk the coffee right, he didn't like the stew, I didn't mend his socks the way his mother used to do. I pondered for an answer, I was looking for a clue. Then I turned around and smacked him, like his mother used to do. If you want to know what kind of man that you have in your life or that you would like to marry, if you have someone in mind, and you see how they would treat you as a wife, watch how he treats his mother. Watch how his mother responds to him. That's exactly the expectations that are set in place as far as what he is as a man and how he responds and reacts to women. You know, real men, I didn't just talk about this, real men are wise, and yet they're humble. You know, they don't put others down with their actions, words, or their strength. They affirm and they build others up. They protect those who cannot protect themselves. Men respect and appreciate a young woman's purity and innocence. And I know a lot of young women have told me, if I say no to sex, that automatically ends the relationship, and I tell them that's good, that's a great thing to happen to them because this man does not respect you. If he doesn't respect you as far as morality, about your moral purity, then he will not respect you about any other, at any other level. If you say no and he doesn't respect it and he wants to leave and get out of your life, let him go. Real men are not ashamed to live and act differently from the world in order to guard himself. He's a gentleman who shows women honor. He doesn't blame others for his own problems, but he embraces responsibility. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. A real man can accept correction. He doesn't get mad, doesn't pout, doesn't stomp his foot, throw a fit. He understands the value of work, and he is financially responsible. And he knows right from wrong and always strives to make good choices. These are some qualities of real men. For those who haven't yet put into words what a real man is, that you were either looking for in your life or that you want in your life. Sometimes people write a lot of things. You know, Alex Karras was a professional football player back some years ago, and he was a big man, you know, certainly big, strong man. But Alex Karras said, it takes more courage to reveal insecurities than to hide them, more strength to relate to people than to dominate them, more manhood to abide by thought-out principles rather than blind reflex. Toughness is in the soul and spirit, not in muscles and an immature mind. And so manhood is usually equated with strength and stature, physique. Manhood is also the strength of the heart, the strength of the soul, the character of the life. We need qualities that go with manhood. Someone once said, watch your thoughts for they become words, watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions for they become habits. Watch your habits for they become character. Watch your character for it becomes your destiny. And so, as we talked last week, we need men who are raising boys to be men, to come into manhood, to be accepted into the realm of manhood, to be validated that they are men in the truest sense of the word, that they are men who can live life to the fullest. They're not fearful of what lies before them, but rather they look forward and they encourage others that are around them by their strength of not only of their physique, but the strength of their character and the quality of their heart, the quality of their mind, and the goals for their life.
We want to be men. We want to be looked up to. We want to be the hero. That's by nature. Boys, as they're growing up, what are the favorite thing boys do? We're soldiers. We're superheroes. We have capes.
We're warriors.
We're defending those. Defending our castles. Defending our territory. Those are things that are inside each of the boys. Things that need to be nurtured and developed and honed into skills for life. Those are the very things that when we become men, doesn't matter what our position in life is, whether we're the man who drives the garbage truck or the CEO of a company. Our lives are our realm. God has given us a certain amount for responsibility. Go to church on Sunday, you understand. God gives your responsibility, your task for what your capabilities are. But how we defend our area, what we've been entrusted with, goes back to what kind of men we are. We've all seen men that did amazing things. When the moment came up, they stepped forward. That is to be a man. That is to be, in many cases, a servant leader. Someone who sacrifices himself for those that he loves, for those that are in his family, in his world, under his roof. That's what we want to develop. We want men who serve their children, who teach their children how to become adults, who guide them, who take the skills and the natural abilities they have, not to crush the spirit, but to mold it and to guide it into what they can become. You bring out the best of what people are. That's what a true man is. When you're on the field of battle, you see them step forward and take the initiative of going somewhere where personally it's not going to happen. Things are going to go bad for me personally. But as a whole, this is my task, to step up. We need to be able to step up. General Norman Schwarzkopf said, "I admire men of character, and I judge character not by how men deal with their superiors, but mostly how they deal with their subordinates. And that, to me, is where you find out what character of the man is." Standing up for what's right, being able to defend those that need defending, to be able to serve those and lift them up that we generally would consider someone below us. Many men look at it, well, I'm the king of my castle, and they abuse everyone that's below them. A true man serves those.
Absolutely. A true man serves his wife. A true man serves his children. Last week we addressed about fathers and sons, but the need is also there for fathers with their daughters. Real men who are men, who are expressing manhood, serve their daughters. Look at their daughters and help their daughters to develop their identity as a young woman. Develop their identity as someone who looks at and appreciates what a man is. And fathers, I want to tell you something. Dads, I want to level with you right here. Your daughters learn what a man is, what he looks like, what he does, what his attitudes are, what his characteristics are, how they relate to women, by how you relate to their mother and to them. That just strikes at the heart of so many father-daughter relationships, where the father has this iron hand, this iron will, and he tells his daughter, "My word is law," and he refuses to listen to the daughter, to understand her, to meet her core needs of being understood and accepted and valued. And he refuses to listen to her ideas, or when she begins to question, especially, she comes into adolescence or to her teen years, and she begins to question what he thinks and what his values are and what his choices and his decisions are, which are very normal for adolescents and teens to do. They have to do that in order to develop their own life with their own will. But many of these fathers can't handle that. And instead of reaching out and being there, being present, to understand and to really search out and help her process her thoughts and her feelings about things, he simply closes her off by the statement, says, "That's all. I'm not going to talk about it any further. I've made my decision. You will abide by it. Case closed." And he completely shuts her down. And what is she learning about a man? What is she looking at when she says, when it comes time and she begins thinking to herself, "I want to spend my life with a man"? What kind of man is she going to choose? What kind of man will she select? Dads, she's going to select a man just like you. And he's going to treat her just like you treat her. Now, if you're loving and kind to her and affirming of her and nurturing her, of her and truly loving her with a servant heart, she's going to choose a man like that. If you are abusing her, abusive to her, abusive verbally, emotionally, mentally, physically, she is going to select a man like that. Our daughters grow up identifying with us, that we are the maleness in her life. And so we need to show her not what an abusive, authoritarian male looks like, but what a real man of quality and character and someone who's truly able to love and to express love and respect for a young woman. She needs that kind of man.
To be a man is not a time in your life, a specific calendar event. It doesn't happen when your physique starts to build out. It doesn't happen when you have your first beer. It doesn't happen when you have sex for the first time. It doesn't happen when, you turn 21, you've graduated high school, and you're in college. Manhood is a mantle that is put on you that you accept. It's not by a certain date. It's not by a certain event. It's by becoming something. We have a lot of men, we've talked about this, all these men that are little boys, all these men that run around, that are abusive, self-serving, just give me what I want, all the way up into their 40s, 50s, doesn't matter. There's no age limit to being a little boy. From a society to a family to an individual, that's one of the most destructive parts that we have are males who do not become men. So what is it? What do we take to become men? Well, we've seen boys that are completely irresponsible, party all the time, spend money, doesn't matter. When it comes down to the wire, finding out what happened, they're off running somewhere else. There's no way they're going to stand up and say it was me. Generally, the little boys are the employees that work just hard enough to keep from being fired. What are real men? When does that mantle come on? Real men reject passivity.
Goes back to how we began the program this morning.
Absolutely. Boys and men possess a natural inclination to be aggressive, to initiate, to explore, and achieve. As we raise our sons, those are skills that we need to hone and guide. That's the foundation of what manhood is built on.
Yeah, and to follow up, is that men, I want you to understand this, and especially moms, I want you to understand this, is that mom, you can be overprotective of your boys. For boys to become men, they need men in their life. Camilla Paglia said, "A woman simply is, but a man must become." Masculinity is risky and elusive. It is achieved by a revolt from women, and it is confirmed only by other men. Man coerced into sensitivity is no manhood at all. And so, as boys being raised up by men, we must reject passivity, and we must be assertive in our lives.
As we come back in the bottom half of the break, we're going to get into the real hammer and nails, the concrete, what it takes to be a man, what it takes to become a man, this mantle of manhood that we're talking about. We'll be back.
TOMA. TOMA. What's your TOMA? Did you know it's worth billions? Hi, this is Ken Boyce, Marketing Director with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your TOMA? Let's find out. Who's the richest man in the world? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, lift depression, or heal emotional wounds? The answer to all these is TOMA. You see, TOMA said Bill Gates, TOMA said Coca-Cola, and TOMA now says the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. How do I contact them? TOMA says 882-6767. How do I find out more? TOMA again says, check out springfieldmfi.com. When the question is asked, it's TOMA that answers. What is TOMA? It's simply what comes to the top of the mind first when a question's asked. That's top of mind awareness, and it's priceless.
You're listening to It's the Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We went into the break. We started talking about what real manhood is, what this mantle is. We discussed a lot of things that it's not. It's not little boys playing video games. It's not little boys throwing temper tantrums. It's not a certain time in our lives when we grow up and we turn 16, we turn 18, we turn 21, we have our first beer, etc. A lot of things that it's not. And many times it's easier to say what it isn't than versus what it is. We've had women that come into counseling that are looking for a good man, but other than their physique and character, they don't know how to express what a true man is. And as we're coming out of this break, that's what we're talking about. What does it take to be a man? What does it take for this manhood to be there? In the United States, we don't have a ceremony for that. There are some cultures that do. We've talked about that a couple weeks prior. What does it take to be a man?
We talked earlier, right before the break, about real men reject passivity and how real men need to be assertive of themselves, not in an authoritarian and abusive way, but assert themselves that, you know, boys and men possess that natural inclination to be aggressive, to initiate, to explore, and to achieve. And the second quality coming out of that, arising out of that, is that real men accept responsibility. Not only do we accept responsibility, we embrace responsibility. Men must be given responsibility. For a boy to become a man, he must learn how to accept responsibility for his life. I know there are a lot of men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, that are still living with their parents because they feel like it's better for them to live at home than to go out and to accept responsibility for their life, financial responsibility, moral responsibility, and accountability. But real men must accept responsibility. Men need four things in life, basically. The first one is that men need a battle to fight. In embracing responsibility, men need a battle to fight. We need something to achieve. We need goals to achieve. We need to learn how to set those goals, and we need to learn how to fight for those goals, how to progress toward reaching those goals, those long-term goals, those intermediate goals, those short-term goals, but reaching those goals. We need a battle to fight because life for a man is battle. We are warriors at heart. We are battlers at heart. We need to subdue and take dominion, to conquer for our world. The second thing men need is a work to do. We need a work to do. And a lot of men never find what that is until perhaps midlife. A lot of young men will start a career, come out of high school or college, and begin working, and toward about 30, 34 years of age, you know, they say, this is not what I want to do. What is it that I really want to do? And they begin looking for that work to do that matches who they are, that matches their personality, that matches their abilities, that matches their strengths. They need a work to do. The third thing that a man needs is a will to obey. You know, there's nothing any more dangerous than a man who is subjected to his own will. A man who feels like that he is not accountable to any other will outside of himself. He's dangerous to himself. He's dangerous to his wife. He's dangerous to his children. He's dangerous to the community at large. For boys to become men and for men to grow in their manhood, men must be accountable to a will that's larger than theirs. And the only ones who can hold him accountable are other men. We need a will to obey. And the fourth thing that a man needs is a woman to love. You know, in the Bible it talks about God looked at man and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper for him. And he did. And he brought the woman to the man. He needs a woman to love. He needs someone that is the gentler and the softer gender. The one who matches him in every way and yet is other than he is. He needs a woman to love. He needs someone to give himself to, all of himself to. He needs someone that he can relate with, someone that he can share with, someone who is a helper with him, someone who works with him in his life, and who is also a strength in his life. So men need to accept responsibility and to achieve those four needs. The third thing a man needs is to lead courageously. A characteristic of manhood is to lead courageously. God designed men for men to lead, not to follow. We need to lead courageously. We need to lead our wives and our families. We need to lead them morally. A lot of men talk about authority and having the authority, but you ask them, where does that authority come from? They couldn't tell you. Men, we have authority to lead our families from God. We have authority to lead morally, to lead righteously, to lead in what's good, to lead our children with authority of a father. We need to lead courageously, and that doesn't mean be politically correct. That means you have principles of right and wrong. You have principles that you've built your life upon, you've embraced for your life, and you're teaching these to your children. And you're following them as consistently in your own life as you can to model that for your children. But we lead courageously, not according to how people like it or don't like it, but because of what the principles are in our life.
And it is founded on principles. We are not tyrannical dictators.
And no,
we are not abusive. This is not self-serving. This is for the good of my family, my life, and my community.
Absolutely. You know, the real man, fourth of all, does all of these things. They reject passivity, they accept responsibility, they lead courageously, because as men, we expect a greater reward. Righteous men expect a reward from God. Righteous men expect a reward. Men who are leading according to what's good and right and wholesome and morally sound expect a reward past this life. And we have to have that, because if we are looking for the reward right now, according to how people like us, how they appreciate us, how they are subservient to us, that's not the reward. Because what we do and the choices we make and how we are upholding the principles that are really good and true, there's a lot of times we will not be liked. We will not be liked by a lot of people. But it's more important to be respected than liked. And we must do that. There's an old Cherokee who was teaching his grandson about life, and he said, a fight is going on inside me. He said, it is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. He said, one of the wolves is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority. But the other wolf is good. He is joy and peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And this same fight is going on inside of you, he told the grandson, and inside every other boy too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked grandfather, he said, grandfather, which wolf is going to win? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. The one you feed. And the same fight is going on inside of every young boy and man. We have to decide who we're going to feed, how we're going to assert our manhood. We're going to go to the phone, Dewey in Harrison, Arkansas. Dewey, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm just listening, sitting on my front porch this morning. This is an awesome program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm just I'm listening, and I'm hearing what you have to say. It's just not blaring this morning. I'm listening. and observing what y'all are saying. This is excellent stuff. And I don't get a very opportunity to listen to it on Monday mornings. But working out here, just sitting on our front porch, just relaxing on this Labor Day.
On a beautiful day,
got
yes.
Got you guys on, and I'm really, really enjoying this. So keep up the good work. That's all I wanted to say, okay?
Dewey, thank you very much.
All right. And we'll be listening.
Dewey, if you do work most Mondays and aren't able to listen to the radio, go to springfieldmfi.com. That's
okay.
Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, so mfi.com. And if you miss the show, every show that we have is archived there. You just go to the homepage. There's a radio archive link. You click it. At the top is our most recent show, and then every show beyond that is all right below. So feel free to listen to it anytime if you can't listen to it at work.
All right. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
And we're going to take a break and be back in just a moment with some other messages.
Do we really need counseling? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I guess life's okay. It's not that bad. I know we're both working, and of course kids. But what happened? I don't know. Do we need counseling? I don't even know if my spouse knows. Do I need counseling? If you're asking the question, if you've looked on the internet looking for answers, then make the call. Call the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. The sooner you call, the easier life becomes. 882-6767.
And we're back. I want to thank everyone who's been listening this morning. We have people who call the office and who called here at the radio station. We have a lot of people who are listening who don't call, and we understand that. And we have a lot of people who are going to our website and listening to the radio programs and checking out the services we have at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And we appreciate all that are checking up on us, who are talking with us. And we want you to know that there's help available if you have need. If you have need of counseling, we're going to address what counseling is and how you know you need to go to counseling next week in our program. Ty Beasley is going to join us, one of our counselors from Springfield MFI. She'll be on our program next week. Also, there's a program that is coming up September 13th at the Union Hill Church of Christ. It is a grief recovery outreach program. So if you are someone or you know of someone who has suffered loss from the death of a loved one or divorce or the end of a relationship or loss of career, loss of trust, loss of dreams, loss of security, loss of health. If you've suffered loss, then this program is for you. This 12-week program will begin Thursday, September the 20th. Registration is September 13th from 7 to 8 o'clock. And Nita Shelton, director of this outreach, for more information, you can contact her at 724-8575. That is 724-8575. Nita Shelton can give you the information you need how to register for this 12-week workshop. It's an excellent workshop. I highly recommend it. Call her today.
As we're finishing up as well, what we talked about this morning is becoming a man. Part of that being a man is standing up for oneself, becoming assertive and standing up for what's right, standing up for what's true, defending our homes, defending our families. The previous couple of weeks, August 6th, 13th, and August 20th shows are on springfieldmfi.com, the radio archive. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to that, go back and listen to those. Everything we're saying here builds on what we've done before. And so if you've missed something, feel free to go back and hear it. If you like what you hear and you'd like to have WK or part of the staff come and speak at your company, come and speak at your church, give us a call at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. We'd be more than happy to set up a seminar or workshop, even a marriage excitement weekend. These are absolutely phenomenal. Feel free to take a look at our website, springfieldmfi.com. Again, WK Boyce, Ken Boyce from the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.